Now, have I convinced you to watch Wipeout?
No. I mean, I would give it a... If I passed it on the TV, I would probably leave it on until the next commercial, which is what I do with a lot of the stuff that I watch of that kind of thing. But I wouldn't seek it out, necessarily. Because I still... The Japanese stuff is wilder and funnier and crazier, believe it or not.
You didn't get to see the other things. I will show you, before we leave today, after the show, I will show you other stuff. Which, the big balls will have you on the floor in hysterics.
That's what happened after my hernia, I'll tell you that. Well, not hysterical laughter, anyway.
But let me tell you, they are some of the funniest, because they make these obstacles so unbelievably hard. Oh, one of the things they do, the final thing, they're in the water, they're all wet, and they're on these vinyl things.
Uh-huh.
They have to run up a ramp as barrels are coming down at them. They have to jump over the barrel.
Yeah. You know what I like about these things? It's not that they make them so ridiculously hard. It's that the whole concept and all of it all together is insane and cartoonish and ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
The idea of, like, somebody had to sit there and conceive of, we make giant red ball, we grease them, and then music, and they run, and then hammers come. People think of this,
I mean, because they have... I thought this was it, but it wasn't. That was just kind of not... The one with the punching, the wall with the
punching. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen clips of that on TV. I know what you're talking about.
Hilarious. Just hilarious.
I mean, it sounds like... So that's the one. But that's not the one about you want to be in a Japanese game show. That's that other one that's called...
It's the one that goes before. And they're both on Tuesdays at ABC. I think it's the one... Wipeout precedes the Japanese game show. But I love the fact that these people... So... Basically, by the end of the show, they go, and help, Mom, I've been... And basically, what they did is they kidnapped these people and put them on a Japanese game show.
That's a great idea. I wish they would do that to you just because you would be, perfect for it.
I would love it. And they had all these... Like, the Japanese game... The one game that I did see on it, they had to wear helmets that were like dishes...
Yeah.
You know, they were like square, like the square.
Like the ones I have to wear when I ride the bus?
No.
Oh, okay.
There's a helmet, but then there's like this container on top. And what they have to do is they walk beneath the guy who has to eat something out of it. He has to just eat one piece of thing that's in the dish.
Yeah.
So he has to get it without using his hands.
Oh.
But the problem is, they're on a treadmill underneath him. They're running the treadmill, and he's trying to get the food, and they're on a treadmill.
Oh, Lord. Now, tell me something.
And then after he gets it, they go, okay, you can fall now. They fall, and then they go into a vat of flour for no reason whatsoever. They just go, right into this flour.
Yeah. Now, what shows have you applied... to be honest, where do you find out about these shows, first of all? On Craigslist or where?
Find out because I join. Well, I just look for them, and then I signed up for something, so they tell me this, like realitytv.com.
Okay.
Or something. I'll look for it.
Because I know you replied, I think it was to Dr. Phil for something.
Yeah, well, that's because someone told me Dr. Phil was looking for fatties like me
to
lose weight, but I haven't heard back from him, so.
Oh, well. He's kind of busy divorcing at the moment, apparently.
Oh, he's getting divorced?
If you believe the tabs. And that's showbiz talk for tabloids, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, yeah. I thought he and Robin were big. And I didn't know her name, which is odd.
If you believe what the Star and those kinds of places are saying, they're having a very bitterly contested kind of divorce. Or not quite bitter yet, because I think he doesn't want her to leave and ruin his life and drag him through the mud, which she probably would. So,
wowie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, poor Dr. Phil.
No, but he's supposed to have all these, he's supposed to have a great relationship. She's at every TV show.
Well, he's already been divorced once, So he's the expert. It's like Donald Trump is the expert on real estate, and yet, as who was saying, Lewis Black was making fun of Donald Trump at one point and said, here's this incredibly famous expert on real estate and business and finance, and he went bankrupt. And he did not go personally bankrupt, but one of his major businesses went bankrupt. He had a casino go bankrupt. How can anyone lose money on a casino? A casino is basically a license to print your own money. And yet, somehow, Donald Trump manages to go bankrupt with one. And yet, he's supposedly the be-all and end-all of financial advice careerism and real estate. So it's just, that's the kind of thing. With Dr. Phil, it's like, okay, he's divorced once, possibly twice, and he's getting these couples on TV and giving them advice. Do as I say, not as I do, I guess is the...
Well, I guess you would know, because you've, you know, maybe you... He knows what he did wrong, so.
I guess. I don't know.
Ooh.
What's that, Jeff?
Ooh, nothing good.
Jeff can't pull himself away from YouTube.
No, I'm looking at my email. Okay. Oh, here it is.
What?
This is where I get my reality casting calls. It's called Reality Cast, Reality Wanted. It is...
I would love some... No, actually, pull me away from reality. It's
there's a
rough
family
the
court with Judge Penny that's now casting...
Okay.
New court show casting families who have recently taken over a restaurant needed for a new show.
Hmm.
Fresh Start families wanted for a new show. International singers and musicians wanting for a TV show. Oh, by the way, which reminds me, another one of my favorite TV shows is Last Comic Standing.
Not this season, but I did watch it a season ago.
Now, you can also see this.
I mean, that one comic with cerebral palsy, which was kind of...
Oh, I didn't like him. HGTV's My House is Worth What is now casting.
Ugh.
Janet Jackson Prodigy is now casting.
Ugh.
MTV Singing Group Project now casting. There's a $100,000 prize.
Yeah.
And then it gives you all sorts of news. So basically, it's called realitywanted.com.
Well, cool. Yeah, sure.
So if you're interested in being in reality, and it's free to sign up, and they give you all these casting calls.
Yeah, because all these shows, you wonder, is like, you put on Oprah, you put on... All these shiny ones. Where do people...
Well, they, you know, Craigslist has a lot of them. They look for people.
Yeah, because they need to.
Yeah. But, I mean, they tell you where...
Somehow I want to get on Springer. I don't know what I would have to do for that to happen.
I don't think he's doing his show anymore, is he?
Oh, really? Oh, is that history now? Because his bald guy has his own show. I don't know what the hell his name was.
That was his bodyguard or something.
Something like that. Now
Steve.
Steve has show.
Not that I never watched Jerry Springer. I don't know how I even know that.
Because it's part of the culture.
I mean, I've watched it like for 10 minutes. Just, you know, you'll be flipping through the channel, all of a sudden you see a dwarf like battling this big
in a bag of chocolate or something. Yeah,
they're always ripping the clothes off and then throwing cake on each other or something.
Oh, what was that? We were with friends this weekend, and apparently there's a video out that's gone viral. It's not on YouTube because there's nudity and it's pretty horrible. But Mini-Me, or a Mini-Me naked sex...
It is. It's Vern Troyer has a sex tape out.
Nice
going, Vern.
Well, yeah, good for him. I couldn't get girls in high school to do anything. Here's this guy. He's half my height. And I'm tiny,
but
he's getting chicks in sex videos.
But who, you know, everyone watches, I swear, it's really funny, because Kimmel did something on it, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And he showed people the tape, and they were all going, ew. I mean, this is not what you want people saying of your sex tape.
Well, that's what our friend said. She was like, she watched it, because she has a prurient curiosity, and she said, you know, if it had been two dwarfs, or two little people going at it, it would have had a curiosity, fascination, and whatever. But because it was a little person and a normal size, like 5'11" woman, there was something about it, because it was almost like she was raping a child. Not fair to say, but that's what made it kind of. It wasn't pleasant.
But
and
also,
his skin was like veiny,
and he looked very lecherous.
Oh, so you've seen it?
Yeah. Well, Kimmel showed. Oh, and then a lot of people were going, "Is that a man or a woman he's with?"
So the girl was not...
Not terribly. It's, I mean, I guess sort of attractive.
Okay, I get you. Like,
you know, in a skeevy way.
But not like an Eddie Murphy, are you lost, young woman?
No. It's you know, it's not like this glamour girl. And also, it just starts with them in bed, so it's like, you know...
There's no lead-up. There's no romance.
Yeah. What happened to all the porn videos with the romance is just taken out of it.
When the midget fists the model, we just, you know, where's the love? Where's the romance? I'll tell you where the romance is. It's on Dave's Gone By tonight at 11 o'clock because, well, it's just romantic to be on the radio on a Sunday night at 11. I'm Dave Lefkowitz. Jeff Goodman's going to stay with me to guest co-host Dave's Gone By, as he often does.
And I'll be sitting watching my TV all summer long.
Because
I love my summer TV.
Don't expect him to get on mic much. He'll be too busy watching his laptop. But we will be listening to my Aunt Esther talking about my mom. No, it won't be boring. You got to hear Auntie Essie. She's really cool. And
we'll
be talking to Robert Thompson, and we'll be reminiscing and talking about the importance and, well, I would say, almost the greatness of George Carlin.
Great, great man.
So, don't go away. We've got Dave's Gone By, well, almost immediately. Yay!
Right after this!
It's 11 o'clock. It's Sunday night. It's WGBB Freeport. It's Dave's Gone By. It's too late to change the dial. You're stuck. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every cover of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Damerhood. Welcome, 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 everybody, on this last Sunday in June, June 29th, 2008, and welcome to the 280th episode of Dave's Gone By. Here on this muggy, humid, but I think it's not rainy, which is kind of nice. Hope you had a good weekend, kind of Sunday night. I'm Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist, and that's going to be kind of important tonight because we'll be talking about someone who is pretty darned important to the world of humor. But before we do that, let's talk to also our humorist guest co-host, someone who's, I've got your leading music. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, take that off. Take that off right now. I hate that. No.
Hey, come on. Hey, what is it? It's Gay Pride Day. So.
No.
Yes, sir. Yeah, is it?
Well, it is, but.
So, let's hear this properly. Ladies and gentlemen.
Come, all you young fellas.
I hate you, David.
Bound after sperm.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Jeff Goodman.
That's not even funny.
Yeah, it's kind of. Now you're going to go find Carol Channing to play her. I can
tell.
Anyway, Jeff Goodman, who was just on our pre-show as well. Hi, Jeff. You're in a very chipper and spirited mood because he's been watching a lot of good television.
Well, I'm so exhausted too.
Oh, okay.
I had a gigantic bat mitzvah this afternoon, which went.
Aren't
viral.
You a little old for a bat mitzvah?
Yes. Well, that's what we at Fancy Schmancy do. So, Kayla Leilonick, happy bat mitzvah.
Kayla Leilonick, isn't that where they put a tube up your butt?
Stop it.
Hi, Kayla Leilonick the other day.
Leilonick, the Leilonicks are lovely people from Merrick.
That name rings a bell. Did they win a prize on our Tony show?
Yes.
Cool. Oh, congratulations to her. That's nice. That's okay.
They even make fun of them and they listen.
Well, I'm sorry to say.
Dave, alienating listeners everywhere.
I'm trying to make an Enigma joke about your 14-year-old daughter.
13-year-old.
Well, no, aren't bat mitzvahs a different age?
13, Dave.
Okay,
13.
Still 13. Okay. I think we had this conversation that...
But they could be 12.
They could be 12. That's right. So, but she's 13. She's doing it
only
right.
Really religious people have
Little Leilonick and her high Kalonick.
Kayla Leilonick.
Kayla Leilonick, anyway. I like the way that rolls
she's
up
lovely.
The
they look. Oh, you should have seen them. They look gorgeous today.
Yeah.
All dressed up in their best.
Ooh,
it's fabulous.
Well, since you mentioned the fact that you worked this party...
Well, wait, now, you start introducing me, and I want you to start introducing me with my correct title.
What was it? It was
Bon Vivant, all about Man Around Town.
All About Man Around Town.
All Around Man About Town.
That's a little better, yes. All About Man
All Around... All Around.
Right, High Colonic Man About
now,
Town.
No, All Around Man About Town. So I'm a bon vivant.
Jeff Goodman, the bon vivant.
And all around.
Man about town, bound after sperm, ladies and gentlemen.
Stop that!
On Dave's Gone By tonight. And Jeff is also the owner and proprietor of...
Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
For all your party decorating needs. Fancy Schmancy Balloons. 516-797-3229. 797-3229 if you need... centerpieces for the tables of your graduation party, your bar or bat mitzvah, your christening, whatever it is, or any kind of big summer barbecue that you've got, or for July 4th, Jeff can do it. There's still time. He'll make these wonderful balloon archways. He'll really make your party look good.
We did a wonderful little house party on Saturday. We had the beautiful bat mitzvah of Kato Lelanek today.
Yes.
At the East Meadow Jewish Center. It was gorgeous.
Well, good.
And of course,
was it a barium kalolonic?
Oh, what's that? That's a commercial. We don't want that.
Oh no, no, no commercial there.
Look over the 16 seconds that this commercial will take.
Well, then I'll tell people also about.
Wait, don't, Chris. It's over.
Oh, here we go. What are you trying to play?
Legendary singer and actress Carol Channing gets caught up in a bank robbery. Channing was inside a Washington Mutual Bank in Palm Desert.
Also kind of appropriate for Gay Pride Day as well, if you think about it.
Police say the suspect handed the teller a note.
Poor Carol.
Cash, and then he ran out. Several people were in the bank at the time, including Carol Channing.
Well, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed.
No!
Rob, we just bought a new house.
Oh, congratulations, Carol.
The first house I've ever had, and not a hotel. This is our house, and they robbed us.
Imagine that. But it's not really.
Poor Carol. Poor Carol. Anyway, so, moving on to the other sponsors, because we got to get to calling the guy about, one of our two guests tonight on Dave's Gone By. First of all, thank you to Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway, located at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long
right
Island.
Right next to the formerly demised.
No, it's still demised. It's
totally, I mean, it's totally demised.
The totally demised Lohman shoe store that lasted for about 8 months, or maybe one a year.
But it's still across the street from Lohman.
But I'll tell you one thing, Hewlett Minuteman Press has been around since the mid-1970s, family owned and operated.
It's almost older than you.
No.
I said almost.
Almost. Well, 10 years. Well, it's a good 12 years. I think they were founded in 76.
But in business years, you'd be 115.
I feel it sometimes. But you will get 10% off, not just you, Jeff, but everybody listening gets 10% off any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press if you mention Dave's Gone By. Also,
can they make enlargements?
You can make enlargements and smallments, emoluments, and elamics. Yes, you can.
That would be miniatures.
There you go. You can make mini-me's. You can make sexual mini-me's and copy them again and again. And
you can copy your own sex tape.
Or your own organ, if you wanted to jump down on a
copier. Well, what you could do is take a picture and then enlarge it.
Yeah, I wish I could. Anyway, Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
The Bible of Broadway.
For 65
Come on,
years.
Who called it the Bible of Broadway first?
Was that yours?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Well, that has stuck, because it is the Bible of Broadway. And everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and more in the pages of this important journal. It's the journal that the people in the industry, the entertainment industry, use to know what's going on the stages of New York. And remember that Dave's Gone By listeners get an amazing discount. It normally costs $175 a year for 12 issues, because it's a pretty intense and very factual journal that people pay a lot of money for. But you guys can get it for $120 a year, just $10 per packed issue of Performing Arts Insider. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more information, and go to davesgoneby.org also for information on how you can subscribe and what you can get. Now, let's get also to what will be on this program, which includes a couple of really good things, first of all. I want to say happy, 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 happy. Well, I don't have time to do it 66 times, but just do the multiplication yourself for my mom.
Mother must be so happy that you're telling her age on the air.
Well, you know what? It's still, considering the fact that I'm a 44-year-old man, it's nice to have a relatively youngish mom.
66-year-old mother. How old does that make his mother at birth?
At birth, she was about zero.
Thank you
very much.
When you were born.
So anyway, rather than get my mom on the air, because first of all, she's probably sleeping at this point, and then second of all, just saying, because she never listens to the show, very rarely, because 11 o'clock on Sunday night.
But Dad is on listening.
Oh, you bet he is. And also, Mom listens to the rebroadcast sometimes.
Oh, but
anyway.
Okay, go ahead, wrap it up, and then I have a birthday wish to send out.
Okay, cool. But to do right by Mom, because whenever Dad has a birthday or Father's Day, I'm always getting him on the air and talking to him, and he's been on here a dozen times. Mom, I don't get to do really anything because she's shy and she's not going to do it. But I got my Aunt Esther to talk about Mom and to give us a call and to tell cool, funny stories of their growing up, of her remembrances. And Esther is, she's very neat. She's fun and great to listen to. So I'm excited about that. My Aunt Esther tonight on Dave's Standby, but that's not all. Oh, no, there's more. But first, Jeff wants to do a happy birthday.
I forgot to give my shout-out. My friend Pop in Thailand, his birthday was Thursday.
Everybody say happy birthday, Pop.
In Thai.
Well, whatever his Thai name is. Or how do you say happy
his
birthday?
His Thai name is Thanachi Mithong.
Thanachi Mithong.
Thanachai.
Thanachai Mithong.
Mithong.
Well, actually, my Mithong is a little tight right now. So.
Your thong.
No, but how do you say happy birthday in Thai?
Don't know.
That's helpful.
Look it up on your computer.
No, later. Because I want to get to our first guest very soon.
I know.
Because this killed me. Last week, it's you know, I love doing this show once a week. I wish I were on the air a whole lot more. But, you know, that's just the at the moment, that's what I can do. I get the hour sometimes before this to do a pre-show and then another hour. And the reason radio people want to be on the air is because they want to share. They want to tell people what's going on, what they think about it. They want to catch the zeitgeist of the moment and have people call in and talk and share and stuff like that. And anybody who's on the air 3-4 times a week gets it for a couple of hours. Yeah, that's what talk radio is all about. But if you're on once a week, you've really got to be kind of lucky that there's some piece of news that's so big and important that happens during the week that it's still exciting to talk about a couple of days later. Or if you're lucky, something happens on a Sunday, except it's usually a slow news day, and then it carries over. So last weekend, you know, I did a show, a very fun Dave's Gone By with Bruce Kluger, this author, who wrote this satirical book. He's been on the show once before. Had a great time talking to him, got through the show, did what I wanted to do. And then, this may be our guest calling in. So let me play some commercials for this show, and I'll get more to this right after this. Print it, copy it, send it as a gift, all that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press, your full-service printer, family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, wedding invitations, and great gifts, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577, 569-5577, on the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com, and mention Dave's Gone By to get 10% off. Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for more than six decades, telling you everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance. It's all there in the pages of Performing Arts Insider. And you, as Dave's Gone By listeners, can get 10% off annual subscriptions. Just go to performingartsinsider.com to find out more about the business. And don't bother me
with Hey there, this is Daniel Breaker from Passing Strange, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on GBB Freeport.
People I can do without. This is my list. Guys in their 50s named Skip. Anyone who pays for vaginal jelly with an Exxon credit card. An airline pilot who has on two different shoes. A proctologist with poor depth perception. A pimp who drives a Toyota Corolla. A gynecologist who wants my wife to have 3 or 4 drinks before the examination. Guys with a lot of small pins on their hats. Anyone who mentions Jesus more than 300 times in a 2-minute conversation. A dentist with blood in his hair.
Yeah, I love that one. That is, of course, George Carlin. And that's what I was saying just before we went to commercial, that I got through last week's show, had a really great time, and then wake up the next morning, Monday morning, and see the news that during that evening, George Carlin had passed away. And you get that moment where, as a broadcaster, the first thing that went through my head was, oh, my God, oh, George Carlin died, and, you know, he's still relatively young, and how sad. A split second later, and this is the kind of media animal that we in the biz, even on the periphery of it, tend to be, was like, oh, my God, he died, and I didn't talk about it. I didn't know, I couldn't have gotten on the air right then and taken phone calls and eulogized him and all that. Couldn't have played a lot of his stuff, obviously. Yeah. We'll get into why. But now having to wait a whole week after the news was out. And I said, well, why is he talking about George Carlin a week later? Well, the reason is because George Carlin was pretty damn wonderful and pretty damned important. I mean, I know some people think Richard Pryor was so much more valuable and so much better. I guess if you're black, Pryor was you know, something important and special and opened up the gates in a certain way. But minute for minute, pound for pound, at his best, there was nobody like Carlin. Carlin, to me, was sometimes like music, funny music, but listening to him go, the rhythm of what he was doing, it was like music, and plus he could leave you in absolute hysterics, certainly at his best. And so, didn't want to just sort of do, oh, well, thank you, George Carlin, play a little routine of his. I really wanted to get into all that he did. Sometimes his legacy, much as he did stuff that I think is wonderful for the art form of stand-up and for our being able to talk about things and to say things, but at the same time, almost ironically, what he did and the battle that he fought and the battle that he put a radio station through ended up impacting negatively on the business and the media. And that's what I want to talk about with our special guest, our first special guest of the evening. He's a fellow named Robert Thompson. He's actually a doctor. He has a doctorate from Northwestern University, but he's currently at Syracuse University, very involved in the media there. Robert Thompson. And, Robert, first of all, are you with us?
I'm here.
Hey, Robert, thank you so much for joining us on Dave's Gone By and being part of this program and remembering George Carlin with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what did Carlin mean to you as, first of all, as a comedian and then as someone who's pushing the bounds of free speech?
Well, you know, up until Carlin's time, actually up until Lenny Bruce's time, we still thought of comedy as primarily one of two things. A guy who got up there and told a bunch of jokes, the Henny Youngman style. Or these comic duos from way back in the vaudeville era, Weber and Fields and Smith and Dale and Abbott and Costello and the rest of them. And with Lenny Bruce, I think we all of a sudden move into this whole new role for comedy, more dangerous, more political, more relevant, all of these kinds of things. But Lenny Bruce was never able to make it out of the fringes of the culture. For one thing, he died before he was really able to hit the mainstream in a big way. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the kind of stuff that he was doing, the mainstream was just not ready for. So if Lenny Bruce was kind of the Moses of this new relevant comedy, we remember Moses never gets to see the promised land, then George Carlin was its Joshua. He's the one that gets to bring it home to 130 appearances on The Tonight Show, guest hosting the first Saturday Night Live. George Carlin took this new kind of comedy, brought it into the mainstream, and of course every comedian practicing today owes some significant debt to what he did.
Absolutely. I mean, I totally agree. You can't look at anybody working from, I mentioned Lewis Black before, to Gilbert Gottfried, to even people like Whoopi Goldberg, the freedom of what he talked about, not just the seven quote-unquote words, but the ability to be himself as opposed to being just another comedian in a tie telling jokes about chicken and airline food and being in the Catskills.
Right, and you know, we think about, it's easy to see the Carlin influence on guys like Pryor and other people who do this more dangerous sort of humor. But even somebody like Seinfeld, who doesn't work blue at all, to speak of, all that observational stuff that Seinfeld would do in a very apolitical way, standing in line at a Chinese restaurant, double dipping, all of that kind of stuff, comes right out of the Pryor bag of tricks, because so much of what Pryor did was this minutia, this comedy about nothing, as it would later be called in Seinfeld era. So even though we think of Carlin as being one type of humor, his influence spread in all kinds of different directions over the next couple of generations of comedy.
And also, certainly for someone like David Brenner or Robert Klein, where a lot of the act was about, at least in the early days, about their growing up in the 50s and the Moors and what it was like to be in high school and becoming pubescent. That's a page out of the Carlin playbook, too.
It is. And, you know, I think the person who I think is today's most brilliant practicing comic, although somebody who's kind of in a mysterious transitional phase right now, but Dave Chappelle, who in those 2 years of his Comedy Central show, I think did some of the most stunningly intelligent comedy going. He is a direct descendant of Carlin. Matter of fact, I think if we were to look at anybody who's around today who is really kind of working the same real estate that Carlin was doing way back when, I think Chappelle would be probably my top candidate.
We're talking with Robert Thompson of Syracuse University, and also the author of a couple of books about television, including Television's Second Golden Age, Prime Time, Prime Movers, Adventures in Prime Time. So let's get to the legal stuff and how Carlin impacted that, in some ways negatively.
Yeah, well, this is what, of course, he's going to always be remembered for, because when people have forgotten the history of comedy, Carlin will still be in the books as part of judicial history. He, of course, has this seven words you can't say on television, which one has to say is right up there with Who's On First, is one of the most kind of memorable comedy bits in all of the history of performance comedy. Anyway, he gets it going in 72 or so, gets arrested in Milwaukee for doing it, and then it goes on to one of his records, and it gets played on one of the notorious Pacifica stations, in this case, I believe it's WBAI, right out in your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. Now, that was the big New York thing. It was BAI.
Oh, right. Really?
Playing anyway, in the morning, yeah.
Some guy is driving home with his kid when this thing plays. And he doesn't like the fact that his kid just heard this list of words repeated over and over again, makes a complaint to the FCC. Well, before the whole thing was over, it had been reversed and back again. It went to the Supreme Court and in many ways establishes much more specifically what the parameters of quote-unquote indecency were going to be. And essentially it says that these words are not obscene, which means they're still protected by the First Amendment. They're not unprotected speech. So it's not the words themselves that you can't say. It's that they shouldn't be said in times when kids can hear them. It was the pig in the parlor argument. There's nothing wrong with the pig itself. It just doesn't belong in the living room. And therefore, this idea we now have that between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., broadcasts over the public airwaves are not supposed to do this kind of indecent programming was established, and of course we continue to fine broadcasters to this day. We continue to have congressional hearings over the likes of Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl,
right,
oftentimes with arguments as infantilely ridiculous as Carlin was trying to expose way back when.
Well, yeah, I mean, granted, someone sexually exposing her nipple during the Super Bowl could be argued as being, well, that's the pig in the in the parlor, but at the same time, okay, so it's like we're talking about children who are only maybe, you know, a few months ago sucking on their mother's nipples.
Exactly.
Is the nipple going to be really, you know?
Not a single kid was damaged by seeing that, except perhaps the people that got fired whose daddies didn't have jobs anymore.
Or because CBS was fined $500,000.
Right.
For it, yeah.
But and it's interesting how people complain, of course, that the indecency rule is not specific. What exactly do we mean? But the whole point is that's good. We don't want a specific list of words. We don't want a specific list of things you can and can't do. Each one of these things actually has to be assessed according to the community standards at the time. If we'd have put a list together of things you couldn't say back during this Pacifica case, there have been a lot of words on there now which are in the absolute common parlance that you still couldn't say. The word crap, for example, when I was a kid, could get your mouth washed out with soap and could get you kicked out of school. Now I hear that word from the pulpit and from, you know, in second grade classrooms, not said by the kids, but said by the teacher.
In a second grade, they do that?
Yeah, yeah. Teachers so young that they don't remember when that was really charged with naughtiness.
Well, George Carlin opens one of his albums with a skit called Shoot. That's the name of the thing on the album. And he said, I got fired for saying the S word in Las Vegas, which is a town where everybody says they shoot crap.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I couldn't do it quite the way he said it, because even though it's 11:30, you know, this radio station has pretty tight reins on the actual language that I can say, and those are the words in there. But as you said, you know, the word pregnant, you couldn't use on TV. You couldn't have a married couple sleeping in the same bed together on sitcom television. That was the standard then. So, you know, it is at least defining community standards now. And if you watch, that's the other thing I think we should give credit to George Carlin for. He made HBO, I think. Without him, HBO would have been interesting. It would have been a thing where, oh, great, we can see a movie without commercials, and then leaving a couple of dirty words, and if they're back then, there really wasn't that much nudity, but it was starting in American cinema. But then, I'm sure a year or two into HBO's existence, when there wasn't much else on cable TV, and people were paying, whatever it is, $5-6 a month for cable to get HBO. That's what it was, man.
Well, you were just paying for HBO.
Yeah. And so, what would they get? Well, they get to see The Prisoner of Second Avenue. Oh, boy, you get to see it on
over
your hotel.
And over and over again.
25 times per month. That was the real appeal.
Right. And
no, but, like, but Carlin and boxing.
The trick was any time of the day.
Made HBO. He did 14 specials.
Yeah. But that was the thing. HBO probably went into a meeting and they said, you know, okay, it's great. People want to see a movie, and then they don't have to pay for it every time they go to the theater. We show it all month long, and they can see it again and again and again. And I guess if you see Prisoner of Second Avenue 25 times, and you still only pay $4 for it, it's only like 10 cents a time. That really works out. But they probably said to themselves, we need something else. And what occurred to them? Give them stand-up comedy. Give them the nightclub stuff that they can't see on Carson, that they can't see anywhere else. And they turned to the funniest comedian out there, George Carlin. And he was riotously funny doing his stuff. And I think that helped, as you said, that and boxing helped really launch HBO and the cable revolution.
Once he jumped to cable, and Carlin, of course, was fortunate enough, unlike an awful lot of his colleagues, to actually live long enough to straddle various parts of the history of entertainment. But once he made it to HBO, he had really enjoyed a victory, because that whole thing about the seven words you can't say on television, you can say them on television. And HBO is the place on television you can say them. So all of a sudden, I mean, it's a special irony that the first time I ever heard that act was, in fact, on TV.
On HBO. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Oh, good
cable
point.
Television. So cable television really opens up a space for him to move into. You know, we were all so shocked when he had died. And one of the things that shocked me most was when people, you know, when they were reporting that he was 71. I never thought of George Carlin as being in his 70s. He still seemed like a young, hip, although slightly grumpier.
Yeah, he was cranky.
He once was. But the idea that he was 71, I suppose, makes it not as much of a surprise that he passed, but the surprise was that he was actually that old.
Yeah.
Well, then again, I mean, he did have heart trouble for a few years, and then, I mean, it's also a surprise he didn't pass from cocaine addiction in the 1990s. I mean,
that's
the fact that he kicked that,
right.
And alcoholism and stuff like that. I'm glad that he didn't become, you know, the Lenny Bruce martyr kind of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was arrested. That was the shock.
You didn't know he was. Oh,
that Carlin. We think of Lenny Bruce as knocking down the door, or as
right.
Robert Thompson has told us that Bruce was the Moses who led the people over.
Yes, yes.
But I kind of assumed, okay, so by the time Carlin came along, it wasn't that big a deal.
But I'll
he
tell you
those words. But he was arrested for it too.
I know. Let me tell you something about George Carlin that always reminds me what I think of him. He was the first comedian who made me think. He was all this observational humor of his. I never, whoever would go in and, you know, his whole thing about jumbo shrimp, when he talked.
Oh, the refrigerator. Yeah.
You know, and he'd make you think. You know, his classic, which I just love to death, is the baseball football analogy.
That was a great one.
I mean, he makes you think because you're sitting there and you go, everything he said was so based in truth. It wasn't a story.
Right.
It was just facts.
Yep.
And he would just he could just change directions. In like 5 seconds.
I mean, in later years, I have to say, it bothered me because either he was lecturing a little too much, or he unfortunately did fall into the trap for a while of just using dirty words for the sake of dirty words, which is what he wasn't doing when he first started using them.
Well, and by the way, you know what else was interesting, and maybe our guest could tell us more about it, is I always thought it was funny that he was such a brilliant man, such a great stand-up, had such great observational humor, and then every time he did a sitcom, they were horrible.
Oh, well, yeah.
He just was in the worst sitcoms ever.
Did you know he was on That Girl? I mean, this was before, but, you know.
Well, he did a lot of guest appearances, which he was funny at, but whenever they put the George Carlin special, the George Carlin show, the George Carlin this, that... That, you know, it was terrible.
Well, because media has to turn him into something that they can, they're not biting their nails every time he's on TV. He's got to be buttoned down.
Well, he could have been he could have had a series, but he just never got the right material. For example, who in a million years would have guessed that Andy Kaufman, one of the most bizarre comics ever to grace the face of this earth, a comic that seemed to be deriving his act straight from the planet Neptune, and he was incredibly successful as a character on a sitcom, Waka Gravis on Taxi, which was based on a character that he'd already created. I think the problem, it's a good point that Carlin was never able to make it into television except as a guest on a comedy show or doing his own comedy specials. But I think the main reason for that was that he was given such hideous material to work with.
Well, I mean, look at Kinison Trigett.
But don't you think he had the choice to have his own staff, especially, you know, towards, you know, the 80s and 90s.
Right.
He had those Fox series that were just awful.
Yeah, it was the Cosby Show that really made it clear that a stand-up comedian could become big box office on television. Of course, that followed with Kevin James and Tim Allen and Brett Butler and Roseanne and all of the...
But you also have gigantic flops like Carlin and you had... and
Sam Kinison. Remember A-Took?
Oh, yeah.
and Don Rickles.
Wow, Don Rickles, CPO Sharky was a pretty...
Oh, man.
It was a hit.
It was horrible.
It wasn't great, but he actually was on for about 4 seasons, wasn't it?
Was it?
That's the only time in all of broadcasting on this day, June 29th, 2008, that anybody ever mentioned CPO Sharky.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I don't know.
All right, well, maybe not. Jonathan Winters did okay, but he had his own kind of show.
Yeah.
He was show made for television. I mean, Jonathan Winters' act really translated nice into TV. Carlin would have needed to do something on the order of Seinfeld, and unfortunately he had no Larry David to partner with, and I think that was the problem.
Good point. Well, we need to kind of wrap up our memories. Does anybody have other favorite Carlin moments or bits or routines of his besides the seven words? Or actually, did another version of the seven words with more words.
Did you ever see him live?
No. Only on HBO.
No, I went to Westbound Music Fair. I saw him a couple of times.
Yeah.
And the one thing that he was very... I always remember going to see him. He was a very smart man. Just incredibly smart. But really genuine. Very genuine. I really felt after you saw him in concert that it was so from his heart. And he would talk at the end and thank people and really, you know... From his heart, I just felt he was very genuine and just a brilliant man.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, and I know we're almost out of time, but this guy not only did Seven Words You Can't Say on television, but he was a huge star among three-year-olds when he was the host of Thomas the Tank Engine,
Time Station.
That is versatility. When you can go from 7 dirty words to hosting a preschool show and do a great job at both of them, you got to have a little sincerity because three-year-olds can see through it if you don't.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming you've seen him in concert, right?
I have never seen him live, though.
I'm telling you, people that... You have to go see him.
I know.
But Don Rickles, if you ever get a chance to see him,
Don Rickles,
he's very good. And of all people, Jay Leno in concert.
Oh, I believe
really
it.
Good.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe Leno would
I
be...
I mean, I'm always... You know, I like going to see comedians live because they're just so... It's very interesting because after their snippets are over, they start really going deep into themselves, because to headline a show and do, and you know, almost an hour straight of stand-up and just comedy, it's hard.
I mean, the only person I've seen fairly recently was Lewis Black, and I'm quite a big fan of his. And you can tell that's also him. There's a persona that he's playing,
yeah,
but it's him, and we'll go out with this.
But I'm telling you, Carlin was quite amazing.
He said about stand-up comedy and what he does. He said, "This is my art, to interpret the world." That's what it was to him.
Yeah.
To interpret the world. And Robert Thompson, I want to thank you for helping interpret George Carlin with us. Do you have a new book coming out or anything like that we should be on the lookout for?
My latest book is called Television in the Antenna Age, which now seems like such a long time ago.
Oh, by the way, we were just talking before. I just want to know for 2 seconds about summer TV. What do you think about summer TV? I don't know if you were listening before. But we saw, I love my summer TV. They have come up with these crazy things. This Wipeout, I love.
Oh, yeah.
The Japanese I survived the Japanese game show. Hilarious.
You know, since 1999, summer has delivered some of the best. I mean, it's often stupid. It's not going to get Peabody Awards.
Yeah.
Summer TV is now the cultural equivalent of a hot dog. It's not the finest cuisine, but it goes down really well in the middle.
I was telling Dave, it's like, I love the Baby Borrowers. What a great show.
But yeah, Wipeout is nothing like watching people fall down.
Wipeout, I'm telling you, that is my new favorite show. That is my summer of 2008 show. Because between the delivery of the hosts, they're great.
Well,
Robert, I have to talk to you again. We have to call privately.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much for calling in, Robert Thompson. Syracuse University, you're a professor, and also you head something there, don't you?
Yep, the Center for the Study of Television and Popular Culture.
Wow. Well,
not a bad way to make a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to talk. We have to talk.
Definitely. Definitely. And I thank you so much for calling in. And now, speaking of summer TV and wild things like Wipeout, here's George Carlin on the importance of keeping people alert.
Now we come to the practical portion of our show. This is the practical stuff. This is where I actually give advice. Little tips and hints and suggestions on things that will help the quality of life. Little things you can put to work almost immediately. In fact, some of you may be aware of my more famous tips from the past. How to get rid of counterfeit money? Put it in the collection plate at church. See how often this simple solution will elude us. Here's one, how to get out of jury duty. Lots of people try that, don't they? And they do. A lot of them get out of jury duty by lying. You don't have to lie. Tell the judge the truth. Tell him you'll make a terrific juror because you can spot guilty people just like that. Well, today's suggestions are a little different. These are just sort of hints on things you can do to keep other people alert during the day when you're out and about your business. Little ways to keep people on their toes. Because people need that. And I'm not talking about your friends so much. It's just the general public. People need a little sort of a mental goose during the day to kind of bring them back to reality, you know? There are an awful lot of people walking around, not all there. There are people walking around with a kind of a neutral zone around their head. Some people leave part of their brains at home when they come out in the morning. Hey, some people don't have that much to bring out in the first place. So I say there are little things you can do to help keep other people on their toes. Did you ever try backing out of a drive-in bank? That's the kind of thing I need. Or just walk up to someone on the street and say, "Pardon me, I have nothing to say." Someone asks you what time it is. You say, "Well, it's either 6:15 or Mickey has a hard on." Now, many of these suggestions
Many of these suggestions which I'm offering are intended for use on retail clerks. Because retail clerks seem to need special help. Do you ever go into a store and realize immediately that the clerk is running on a lean mixture? The cheese fell off his cracker a long time ago. He's just a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic. Here's one to try. Go into a gift shop and ask for your gift. Doesn't impress them, but it keeps them on their goddamn toes. Or else just go running into any quiet little store on a Sunday morning and say, "Are you open on Thursday?" They'll say yes. Say, "Thank you."
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By and this show that we are spending at least part of honoring the birthday of my mom. Yes, we get a little nepotic and familial here for my mom's 66th birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. And rather than get my mom on the air, because she tends to be rather shy about these things, and especially when she has to talk about herself or family or anything like that. But so we do what we usually do in my journalistic business. We go around her and get to her another way. And what better way to go around my mother than through her sister? And that person, her name is Esther, my Auntie Esther, and happy to have her on the phone. So let us do our usual ritual greeting, Esther Brower. How you doing, Essie?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. And how are you?
I'm fine.
And you?
I'm fine. Are we going?
You're not even doing it right. We've been doing this for years. We have been doing this. You're supposed to go, like, I ask you how you are, and you say, "I'm fine." And you? And then I say, "I'm fine," like an old vaudeville routine. Here you have the opportunity to do it on the radio, and you blow it. You must be nervous. Oh, my God. We'll do this quickly one more time here.
Okay.
And we're going to do this. Esther, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm all right. And you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. And you?
Don't ask.
Ba-dum-bum. There we go. That's comedy, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they pay me the big bucks at this radio station. Ladies and gentlemen, my Auntie Esther. But that's not why. I don't have her on the phone to do comedy routines, thank God. No, I have her here with us to talk about my beloved and wonderful mother, Brenda Lefkowitz, and to tell stories about Brenda's life and their life together as sisters and Mom growing up and all sorts of stuff like that. Now, is your relationship with Mom the same or different or changed now in later years than it was growing up?
Oh, absolutely.
How?
She was just my sister. We just lived together, and I didn't want to have anything to do with her.
Yipes.
You know, when you're little, you know, you have a younger sister, and you don't want to be bothered.
Okay.
It's only until later on, when she got older and almost married, that I became friends with her.
Well, whose doing was it? I mean, she didn't want to be involved, or you more, didn't, you were the older sister, so was she like a paying little younger sister always tugging at your coattails, or how did that work?
Pretty much that's exactly what it was.
Okay.
You know, most older kids don't want to take care of their younger siblings, and so that was the same thing with me, and she's entirely different than I am, so, you know, I had a different
life. Well, she's smart, she's attractive, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, that has nothing to do with this. Are you trying to say something?
No, no. Who, me? No, of course not. Now, Mom remembered something. How, even despite what you're saying, when we all went out to lunch today for Mom's birthday, she recalled something that happened, something that you did, that you didn't even recall. And she was pretty proud of it, and she was pretty like, "Oh, yeah."
That's right. I had absolutely no idea. Couldn't remember it at all.
Well, why don't you share what it is with our audience?
Well, supposedly when Brenda was at school, some kids were bothering her, and she had a friend of hers call me. Well, not call me. We didn't quote have phones at the time, but come over and asked me to come to the school to protect her.
This was in the 1870s, am I right?
Yeah, I think it was before my mother was born.
Oh, it could have been, yeah. No, but what grade? Roughly like second, third grade or
yeah,
older?
I think something like that, okay. Yeah. And I guess I looked pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came over, and supposedly the kids just left her alone. But I did not remember that at all. Again, there's a lot of things I don't remember when I was that young.
Well, the drugs, the alcohol, they take it all away, don't they?
You could think so, but at my look, in my stage of life at that time, there was no drugs, very little alcohol. It was basically smoking cigarettes, which she didn't do.
And yet you were something of the bad girl, as it were. You were not bad, like
I was a rebel.
The rebel. But I guess back then, rebel meant smoking, wearing lipstick, or especially if you were a man. That would have been really rebellious back then.
True. Absolutely.
Now,
yes. Things were different then, yes.
One of the reasons maybe that you don't remember so much from then is not your incredibly advanced age and corroded brain.
My incredibly advanced age.
Teasing. Yeah, you're not ancient. You're just old.
Not yet.
No, not yet. You still got most of your faculties and all that kind of thing. And thank God you're healthy to an extent, which is good.
There's a dispute over that.
Okay. But it's understandable why you would, I guess, block some of that out. And I guess I didn't hear much of this growing up for perhaps good reason, but your my grandparents did not have what you would call a perfect marriage. Okay.
That's what you call it. No, they did not.
So what was that like for both of you to deal with growing up?
I have to tell you, I don't think Deborah really, I mean Brenda, I'm sorry.
Deborah, you always confuse, Deborah is Esther's daughter.
Yes.
And Brenda is her sister, a.k.a. my mother. So, yes, so you don't think Brenda really had any idea that her parents hated each other?
No, I don't. But, you know, we've never really discussed it. But, you know, when she left the house and she got married to your father,
mm-hmm.
it was more, what do you want to call it, pronounced. In other words, they really had problems. And
okay.
Since I was home and I didn't get married at such a young age, I saw a lot more than she did. So she really was more out of it, and I really don't think she really saw a lot or heard a lot.
But you
which
did.
Which she was lucky.
Yeah. I mean, at the one point, did they ever get officially divorced, or did they just kind of separate and live in different countries?
No. They got a divorce after I got married.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. my father went to live in Israel, which was always his dream. Oh, definitely. They definitely got a divorce.
Oh, okay. And the get, the Israeli, the Hebrew divorce, too.
You know, I don't know.
Is that where they fling a chicken around and, you know, run around the room saying, I divorce thee, and then watch The Simpsons? I think it's something like that. That may be the official ritual these days.
No comment.
Okay. Fair enough. But it wasn't like they screamed and fought all the time. It was more like they didn't talk. And so you were kind of the go-between, tell your father this, tell your mother that. Was that
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm. Well, what a hell of a way to
you
grow.
You get used to it.
Do you think it influenced your marriage?
No, I don't think so. No, mm-hmm. I just knew that when I got married, I wanted to have someone that I could communicate with, which is what...
And you married Sonny. Okay, yeah.
David.
Okay.
No, actually, we had good communication.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, no, Sonny's a very cool guy. I still call him Uncle Sonny. He's not.
Yes.
You guys are divorced now, but it's just funny that, of all things, it's like, you know, communication was the problem on your parents' end. And it's
yeah,
like,
but that's what you want. In other words, you want something that you don't have, that your parents don't have.
Right.
And that was one of the things that was very important to me, and I did have it.
Now, here's the memory of that I remember growing up of you and Mom. I most remember, kind of, aside from your having to go into New York every other week, schlepping up to the Bronx when my grandmother, your mom, Grandma Helen, was already kind of out of it and living in a nursing home.
Mm.
And then you have to go back and forth. And it's the reason to this day my mother doesn't like New York and doesn't want to go to Manhattan. Because to her, the association is getting on a train, going up to a nursing home, and watching her mother die. That can be a negative... kind of a negative association. But the other one is, much more happy thing, my dad, for many, many years, subscribed to Playboy magazine. This was obviously long before I worked for a while at Playboy.
Right.
But, you know, I'm kind of glad he subscribed. It helped me through my teen years to an extent. And the cool thing was you and Mom used to sit on the couch and read the jokes.
Oh, God.
In Playboy magazine. I recall this. I think even sometimes you taped yourselves reading them. We had a big reel-to-reel tape recorder. And just fascinating. And you would tell the jokes and then laugh like crazy. And then you would make each other laugh just even without that.
That's true.
There's something about the way the two of you... What is it that you guys get together and almost nothing can spark it, and yet you go completely into hysterics?
I know. I don't know. It's a word. It's a look. It's a... I really can't explain it. It's just when we are together, it's tears from laughter.
Yeah.
It's great fun. It doesn't... I can't explain it. You know, like today I told you one of the things, but the, I'm going to go hysterical now.
Oh, do it. Do it. Definitely. Try it.
No, well, you want me to tell you about... Well, I told you with the aluminum foil.
Yes.
Okay?
Well, why don't you tell all the other people who weren't actually at lunch with us? They might not know what happened.
Yeah, but you have to...
It hasn't been on the internet yet.
I know, but, you know, it's really difficult because you have to be there to see us. You know, she happened to be... She happened to have to go in to Food Town, which I'm sure your readers or your listeners know what the story
is. It's a supermarket.
It's a,
listeners, right. Food Town is a supermarket. Okay. We're just giving you the background here, so you can... And, okay, you've got two sisters, and they're out for the day, they're having lunch, they're whatever, and they realize, one of them realizes, she has to go to Food Town, which is, what is it? It's a supermarket.
Right.
Continue, Esther.
To get aluminum foil, which she needed. And so instead of saying she's going to Food Town to get aluminum foil, she said, I'm going to get food at Foil Town. And that just cracked us up.
I mean, when you say cracked up, that will keep you laughing hysterically for 10 minutes.
Oh, at least.
You'll stop laughing for half a minute, and then the giggles will start in one of you, and then it'll carry over to the other, and you'll laugh for two more minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Just one of those cool... And it's one of the things that, silly as it sounds, that's what life is all about, having
it's
moments
the best
like
thing.
That.
It's just wonderful. I could say something ridiculous, and she'll give me a look, and we just fall apart. It can't be explained.
I mean, you have that. I was surprised that you have that with one or two other people.
Yes, I do.
I thought it was only with Mom, but...
No, I have that with my girlfriend, Kathy,
mm-hmm.
and when we worked together, we would sit in a restaurant, and they'd look at us as though we were crazy, because whatever it was that said just cracked us up. And it's a wonderful way. It's a wonderful feeling, and supposedly you live longer when you laugh like that.
Oh, so, well, I hope for both of you that is all, for all three of you, that is completely true.
Oh, but it's great.
And it means that everybody listening to my radio show will live until at least, you know, 38. But, you know, you were there. I didn't realize this. You're only a couple years older than Mom. But you were there and remember her coming home from the hospital as a little tiny, tiny, tiny infant.
Well, I remember when she was, my mother was giving birth to her when they went to the hospital, and I could not go in to see her, and I was furious. I was sitting out on the steps with my uncle when my father went in. I remember a lot of things when I'm like 3 years old.
Good
Lord. Ask me what I did yesterday, and I can't tell you.
Well, I mean, that's not uncommon, actually. And the memory picks and chooses over the years. But what else do you remember from when you were like 3 years old?
Oh, goodness gracious. I remember when my father's boss came to the house. I wasn't too particularly fond of him for whatever reason. And I guess Brenda
mm-hmm.
had just been bottle fed. And he picked her up. And you know how, which you're not supposed to do these days, is threw her up in the air, which I did not like. And
yeah.
I remember saying to myself, I hope she throws up on him. And guess what?
Yes!
Yes, she did. It was one of the happiest moments of my life. Because, and this is true, you know, but there are other times where my mother told me that I tried to take her out of the crib and probably almost killed her.
Well, there's that sibling kind of stuff, especially when you're a little and you
don't.
But you
don't realize it. Yeah. It never dawned on me, you know, when I did something like that, that I, you know, I was doing that with any kind of animosity. I was just probably trying to take her out of the crib.
Yeah, we're just holding a pillow over her head and hitting her knees with a wrench.
Like
it was
that.
Just one of those sisterly
yeah,
things.
Yeah, something like that.
Hey, do you remember when I was born?
Yes, I do.
And any particular memories of...
Well, not really, but I do remember...
Thanks a lot, Auntie Esther.
What?
Thanks a lot, Auntie Esther.
Yeah, no, well, I remember, you know, some good things. The best thing I do remember is I slept over your house one day.
Uh-huh.
With Sonny.
Your husband at the time.
Remember
yeah.
you had the Castro convertible?
Yeah, a sofa, sure.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how old you are, 2 years old, and you walked in and just looked at us, and we woke up, and you just stood there like, who is this? And ran out of the room, but it was so cute.
Oh.
Yeah. And another thing
I was 19, so it was kind of, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that I do remember about you that sticks in my memory.
All right.
Your mother and father, and I don't know if it was at Tony and Camille's wedding or one other time I had to babysit for you, and we were playing a game, and in the middle of the game, you said, I love you.
Aww.
And I have to tell you, I never forgot that.
Aww. What did I want from you at that time? Did you have food? Did you have money?
Probably you wanted to win the game, and I wouldn't let you.
I'll betcha. Oh, but that must have been it. I wanted Park Place, and you had Park Place. So I was like, Esther, I love you. Open your hand. That must have been it. So,
it was wonderful. You were a great kid, I must say.
Yeah, whatever. And what happened?
You know, you grew up. What can I tell you?
This is true. Esther, we just have like a minute left. So please give Mom big, wonderful, happy birthday wishes any way you want to.
Brenda, a very happy, healthy birthday. I love you dearly. I hope to see you, you know, Saturday, and we'll be together laughing again. How's that?
It was perfect. Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor a show segment or the whole show. Just go to davesgoneby.org to see the rates. Or call 516-295-1511, 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By.
Do not adjust your set! There's a rabbi on it! See! Every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. I'm Rabbi Sol Solomon, spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And my TV show tells you everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism, but were too staggeringly ignorant to ask. Shalom, damn it! 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings on Channel 115 or Channel 67 in Manhattan on Sunday afternoons at 1:30. Or anytime at all at YouTube.com. Shalom, damn it. Your prostate will thank you.
Hi, this is Al Aronowitz, and you're listening to Days Gone By on WGBB.
There are many ways to say you. There are many ways to say go yourself. Like burn in hell, like take a flying leap. Or, I'd love to see your whole family in a flaming train accident and piled up in a heap. There are many ways to say you and your ugly children. There are many ways to say eat and die. Like up yours, buddy, or kiss my ass. Or it would be worth it to die in Auschwitz if I could just see you gassed. So many ways to express hate. So many ways. Isn't that great? We don't have to blaspheme or curse to wish a person illness and worse. There are many ways to say I could hurt you. There are many ways to call you a mother piece of... Like choke on your own blood.
or drop dead, you jerk. Or, I hope an AIDS victim bites you and the chemo doesn't work. So many ways, so many ways, so many sucking ways to say you. A gentle little tune there to go out with on Dave's Gone By in memory of George Carlin, who found that there are many, many ways to use those words and not use those words, and at his best, which was pretty often, he could express things both ways and in ways and fashions that would just make you laugh hysterically, and as Jeff said, also make you think. It is 12:01 a.m. here. It is now Monday morning, June 30th here. It's Dave's Gone By, last remaining minutes of the program. I want to thank Jeff for joining us. I'm not hearing your, it's funny, I've got your mic on and I'm not hearing you. I don't know. Anyway, while Jeff is trying to figure out what's going on.
No?
Yes.
I think maybe I accidentally turned off my own mic.
That's it. And there are people listening at home cheering, finally! No, just kidding.
Thank you, Dave.
You're very welcome. Why don't you do the sponsors now that you've got? Get your hand off the mic! And why don't you give us what...
I can't help it.
I know. It is that shape. And it was Gay Pride Day. But it's Monday, so now you have to be back in the closet with Jeff. So, wait, what was that, Jeff? What?
I'm just going to talk over. No! Don't listen. Don't do that. Oh, it's so nasty.
Okay. Horrible. Give us our sponsors. We got to get out of here.
It's the Coffee Kings of Broadway.
Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. 10% off for all listeners on any job, big or small. And Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
The Bible of Broadway.
For 65 years. Go to performingartsinsider.com for more information and for how Dave's Gone By listeners can get a full year for only $10 an issue, $120, saving a whole lot of money there. And what's your...
Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Fancy Schmancy Balloons. That's Jeff's business, and he does the decorations, the centerpieces.
Party decor.
Yeah.
And party planning.
And plus, if you're starting a party from scratch and you need things like a DJ or the lighting or the photography,
you
he
just,
also knows...
If you don't want to have, you don't want to organize your own party, I'll do it for you.
And he'll do it very, very well. Fancy Schmancy Balloons, 516-797-3229. 516-797-3229. Also want to remind everybody to hear Rabbi Saul Solomon. Shalom, damn it. His television show airs Wednesdays and Friday mornings at 7:30 on channel 115 of local cablevision. Wednesdays and Friday mornings at 7:30, or if you're listening to us in New York City, he's on Manhattan Neighborhood Network on New York City Cable, channel 67, Sunday afternoons at 1:30, and also it's on the internet at mnn.org at that time. Or, if you have the internet, you can watch all the episodes on YouTube.com anytime at all. Just look for Shalom, damn it. Want to do, a shout-out to Mom Lefkowitz, wishing her a very, very, very happy birthday, and a healthy one, and many, many more as well. And happy birthday to Jeff's friend Pop out in Thailand. Want to tell everybody that Robert Kalfin, who was a guest on here about 2 years ago, is directing an off-Broadway play called Marie Antoinette, The Color of Flesh, at the St. Luke's Theater on West 46th Street, off-Broadway. It's he did it a few months ago, and it's coming back because it was so well-received, and I think it's going to be an open run. So catch Robert Kalfin directing Marie Antoinette, The Color of Flesh. The number for tickets is 212-239-6200. If you want to contact me or learn more about this program, Dave's Gone By, go to davesgoneby.org. And remember, that's Dave, like my name, davesgoneby.org, or write to me at davesgoneby@aol.com.
And tell them how much you love them or hate them.
Either one. We want your comments. We want your suggestions. If you don't like the show, if there's certain things you like or dislike about it, let us know, because that's the only way we'll know.
And my comments are 100% favorable.
Really? Well, that's well, not 100%, but close. People like Jeff. Jeff is very likable. Anyway, you can hear recent episodes of this program for free anytime by going to the radio station's website, am1240wgbb.com. And there's even a link from davesgoneby.org to get there. And
isn't that nice?
So you can hear our Tony show, our whole Tony special, all 3 hours of it. Oh, my.
You have 3 hours to sit back and kick back, listen to us discuss an old award show. It's always fun.
No. Well, or also some of our older guests. But the past 25 episodes are online at WGBB AM 1240.
And you can send your mother some birthday greetings.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, what do you can send your mother some birthday greetings?
Your mother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
they
can write
send
to
your
me.
Mother's
yeah, but I'm past the Dave's Gone By AOL thing. We're moving on. We've got to end the show.
I'm sorry.
Look on WGBB's schedule also for Filler Up, which is a half-hour music program that I do a couple of times a week. And it's just eclectic music. I don't talk nearly as much. It's about the music on Filler Up. Look on the schedule at am1240wgbb.com. Thank you so much to Robert Thompson, the big guy at Syracuse University, for helping us remember George Carlin.
I get paid to watch television. I love that.
Thank you to Esther Brower, my Auntie Essie, and
everyone
I wish her
loves, much. Everyone loves Esther.
Yeah, happiness and health to her, too. Happiness and love to my wife, Joyce, and to Mom and Dad. It was great seeing them today.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom. In the coming weeks on Dave's Gone By, we've got pianist and author Sarah Sion. She's written a book about getting along with your mother-in-law. Kind of fun there. We'll also be talking to a kind of a local Long Islandish legend, Dr. Dirty, John Valby. And he'll be, can't get too dirty on the airwaves with us, but he'll talk about his long career playing the kind of music that George Carlin helped make possible. And we'll be talking to cabaret and Broadway performer, very big star, Karen Mason. All these people coming up on Dave's Gone By.
Sounds like good times ahead.
But now, unfortunately, it's the good time to leave the neighborhood.
Now, but before we leave, I did want to play a little something for my friend Pop, whose birthday it was this week.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Oh, let me get that on. What is that? Aw.
This is for your mother and Pop.
Aw. Happy birthday to you. Brought out candor. Very nice. Very nice. Happy birthday. And also to everybody who's having a birthday out there, happy birthday to you all as well. I'll be back next Sunday, July 6th, 2008.
Woo!
The 281st episode of Dave's Gone By.
And our first one in July.
That's right. And oh, and happy July 4th, everybody. That's right. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, hippy-dippy weather, and seven words you can say wherever you please.
And happy birthday, everybody.
And
gone by.
I was a disc jockey when I was 19. I was lucky. I found a job, like, you know, when I should have been still learning about it. And it inspired Wonderful Wino and Willie West, a character of mine. Radio stations, of course, change personnel rather rapidly. Willie West is no longer at Wonderful Wino. He's been replaced by Scott Lame.
Hi, gang! Scott Lame here! The boss jock with the boss sounds from the boss limp to the boss 30 that my boss told me to play! Right here on the Nifty 850. Wonderful Wino Radio! Wonderful Wino! Big band in the big town. Why no time? Bing bong. 5 minutes past the big hour at 5 o'clock. Hey, we can start with one of the big sounds this week. Ever-present footprints cross the shadows on the carpets of the hallways of the memories of your mind.